This is BFBS,
the Forces Station.
George Ryland meets Sigma.
Alone and find it on my own. Cause this life ain't leading nowhere I can go. I'm standing still with nothing in my way. Letting me go so I can find myself again. I need that.
This is BFBS, the Forces Station. I'm George Ryland and I'm with Joe Lindsay, one half of the multi-platinum selling duo Sigma. Joe, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
I've been waiting to interview you for years because we're from the same town in Hertfordshire and everyone is so massively proud of everything that Sigma have achieved. It really is something that we're like, yes, he's one of ours.
Yeah, to be honest, I feel like I really was one of the... Well, I probably spent a lot of time hanging around in the pubs and stuff. And I guess I really was kind of one of ours, if you want to put it like that. I was amongst it.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you started really young with music. What did you actually listen to when you were growing up?
Oh, my God. I listened to so much stuff. I was talking about this the other day to my missus because she was like saying, you know, when you kind of, because obviously you live your life the way you live your life, right? You don't really think too much about what it is that you've experienced or what you've done. But when I was looking back over stuff, I was always really into loads of different stuff. So I remember like going to the library and just getting out like jazz CDs when I was like 12, 13 years old, renting them out and like copying them, taking them back. Whilst at the same time going to like record shops and buying vinyl, hardcore and jungle and everything, man. So yeah, just a bit of everything really, yeah.
And you got on the decks pretty young as well and you ended up winning the DMC Championships. Tell us about that.
That was a bit of a crazy experience. I think for me, technically, music was DJing, I felt, was a little bit basic for me because I'd come from a very musical background. Like I played instruments and stuff. And obviously, because I started so young, I picked up DJing very quickly and I just got bored and I was like, well, what else can I do? Do you know what I mean? And then I heard like some rap DJs on Kiss. I think it was a guy called Shorty Blitz. He was scratching and stuff. And I wasn't really aware of what that was. So yeah, and then I just got into like kind of mixing some hip hop because I wanted to learn the skills, really started to learn about the culture. I was doing quite a lot of graffiti at the time as well. Do you know what I mean? Back then in the 90s, it was like very much a thing. It was breakdancing, graffiti, maybe late 80s, but I was a little bit of a late comer to the party. So it was about the hip hop culture for me and just getting like really diving into that alongside the rave culture. Because for me, the two go hand in hand, do you know what I mean? But it was a sick time, man. What was the original question?
You won the DMC championships because you were DJ Wooz at the time, were you not?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and I was in a crew as well. So I won the London Heats when I was Wooz. I think I was only about 16, which was crazy. But then as a team, we won the UKs. I think we came third in the world. And that was just, yeah, man, just a crazy experience, you know, to share the stage with some like really technical guys, which actually, funnily enough, I learned quite a lot from, because actually there's two different sides to DJing, right? You can technically be the most amazing like wizard on the decks, but a lot of what makes you successful as a DJ is about how you sell yourself to your audience and the selection as opposed to the technicalities. Where for me, I was so heavily invested in what was technical, and then you go to start playing in club environments and stuff. And I just had a realization that like, that's not it. Do you know what I mean? Actually. So I went really down the rabbit hole, learned all the skills, and then came back and was like, maybe I should just be making tunes and like actually doing the music side of things rather than that. But anyways, it was a great experience to look back on.
And then you went to Leeds Uni and you met Cam Edwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you guys decided to start making music together.
Yes, that was it, of course. Cam was living around the corner from me. And yeah, man, it was through a mutual love of the music. He was promoting, I was DJing and starting to make tunes, and he wanted to get into making music. And like, he came around to my house and I had like a little PC that I'd bought, and he's like, oh my God, I want to make tunes. And I was like, well, if you've got some money, we'll go and buy a PC. So I think he had like 300 quid left on his student loan or something. And we like literally went down to PC World, bought the most rubbish PC and we took it back to his house. I loaded it up with plugins, and literally after that, it was just like every day, we were just like sitting up all night like making tunes. It was a great time, really fun. I enjoyed it.
And you had a lot of releases, like you worked with DJ Fresh, but that kind of went on for years, didn't it? Did you get frustrated at that time? You're like, oh, I'm not sure if we're going to get anywhere.
Well, you know what? I think it's funny because when I look back over my journey, I think there were obviously periods. We got to a stage probably in about 2013. I'd done quite a few different projects. I'd done another alias that was like breakbeat stuff. I'd worked with some other people. And I was making money out of it, but I wasn't smashing it. Do you know what I mean? So I was kind of happy at certain points of where we were at, but really when it started to get to me was when we were getting music played on radio and we were still in a position where people weren't necessarily biting on that level. Do you know what I mean? Like with that, we had a track called Rude Boy that was like on the radio one, I think it was on the A-list, and it was, they're playing it next to like One Direction. And our agent was like, I can't get you any bookings. And we were like, what? This is mental. We're almost at the pinnacle, what it felt like at the time, of where we could be as an artist. And you can't sort us out any shows. Anyway, long story short, we then obviously did Nobody to Love. And that was just see you later after that. I mean, but it was an interesting journey at that point too. But so, yeah, I guess to answer your question, there were moments of frustration, and that was one of them. Yeah, so it was that. That was definitely a trying time for a small period.
Tired of loving, all loving with nobody to love. Nobody.
Put it mildly, it was the game changer, Nobody to Love.
Yeah, 100%, man. And it was like, really was just like an accident that happened. I think we were looking for a single to follow up that track I was talking about, that Rude Boy track. And I think we sent the label a bunch of ideas. They weren't really biting on anything. So because we, for our DJ sets, we wanted some exclusive stuff. We just did that remix, threw it together. And then we wanted to build our mailing list, so we just gave it away as a free download on our website. And then I think we sent it out to a few DJs, and like Annie Mac was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. Started playing it on Radio 1, and Shazam just went like that. And that was how they used to measure things back then. So it was all about the Shazams. So then our label were like, why are you giving this away for free? And we're like, well, it's a remix. It's like, there's nothing we could do with it. And they're like, well, we can. So then we went and re-recorded all the elements and just released it as an official track. Yeah.
And how much did life change almost overnight? Because it was crazy, wasn't it?
So, yeah, for me, it was a definite moment where things started to accelerate quite a lot. Obviously, like radio play, etc. People's interest. Weren't like tons of bookings, actually, still, interestingly enough. And it was a real fight to get promoters' interest. When I say that, like, we were playing on the underground circuit. We were DJing and we were earning money. But it was like on that next level. And who we were looking at that time was people like DJ Fresh and like, who's a friend of ours, and Chasing Status and all those guys who we saw as our peers and we've known for years, you know what I mean? And we were like, well, why are they getting booked and we're not? And then we just realized it's just a process of a succession of those tracks. Do you know what I mean? Even if you have that one big tune, it's not just about that big tune. Obviously you have a moment with that tune, but it's a body of work that really gets people excited. And I think, following on from that, like we were fortunate enough to work on some other great records that just had very similar kind of success, you know what I mean? Which was an exciting time.
Hell down heaven now, living in the same town, trying to find something new. Broken picture frame, I've been frozen in, trying to find a better view. This ain't me, this ain't cool, this ain't what I signed up to. This ain't right, it's no good, no good. Oh, everything is changing, and I've been here for too long. Going through the same things, I've been hurting down wrong. Got to move on, say, I can't do this anymore.
Ain't real, this ain't true, this ain't what I signed up to, this ain't right, it's no good, no good, oh, everything is
It's BFBS, the Forces Station, and we are all across the Forces world. This is George Ryland with Joe from Sigma. They've released their second studio album. It's called Hope. I will get to that in a bit, but I just want to talk to you about your first album, Life. You work with some massive names, Paloma Faith, Ella Henderson, Labyrinth. Are they people that you went after, or did the collaborations happen organically?
It's quite an organic process. I think behind the scenes with some of those records, you don't realise how many different versions are made before you get to the final version. Like, so say, for example, with Glitterball, with Ella Henderson, we did like five different versions. We changed the pitches because the vocalists weren't happy. And actually, the original version was supposed to be Emily Sandé. And then literally the week of release, you were just like, I'm not doing it.
Why?
Like, okay. No reason. Just I'm not doing it. And I'd worked on that vocal for about 3 months, literally, different versions, different takes. Yeah, anyway, there you go. What are you going to do?
Well, her loss.
Her loss.
Right?
Big tune.
A force of nature. I can't look up cause my head's a mess, but you're beautiful in the way you dress. I'm lost for words and I'm powerless. Right from the beginning you got me singing. Ooh.
Album went gold. How did that feel?
Amazing, man. Amazing. Another plaque, which is such a beautiful thing. I never thought I'd ever have a plaque. And I've got like loads of them and they're just sitting in the garage gathering dust. It's quite bad, actually. I should probably like be I take a bit more pride in those moments, do you know what I mean? Yeah,
you need an awards room in your new house.
Yeah, let's see how we get on, maybe.
So you also, this is something I've been really wanting to ask you, worked with Take That. For you guys, a little bit out of left field, no?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look, we said no for so long to Take That.
No, like, Gary, stop calling me.
That was blowing up the phone, man. It was crazy. Like, and that kind of beat us into submission. No, I'm joking. There was a lot of back and forward with that song. And our label kind of bent our arm quite a bit with regards to that. But it didn't do badly, to be fair. Do you know what I mean? I think I've got a plaque for that as well. There's another plaque.
You'll have to have a look, dust him off at some point. He's got so many, he's got no idea.
I sound like a bit of an idiot, but like, yeah, it's true, actually.
I've been drowning in the river, try to soothe my soul. Take me under, take me deeper than I choose to go. I can't see it any clearer, lost it long ago. Down here underneath the surface, you're my only hope. If you remember me, everyone else can't forget. Everyone else can't forget. Tell them I have nothing, nothing. Waiting for the storm to surrender my soul. Bathe me in your holy water and lay me down. If you remember me, everyone else can forget. Everyone else can forget. And tell them I have nothing, nothing.
That's Cry from Sigma featuring Take That.
BFBS, original music specials.
George Ryland meets Sigma.
I saw you guys play live. It was Dubai New Year's Eve a few years back. I got so into it, I actually jumped into a fence and you very kindly sent me some medics over because half my knee was hanging off. So thank you for that. You are so good live and you've played all around the world. What makes a really good gig for you?
You know what? Like, obviously the location is one thing, but for me, actually, like, a big event like that is obviously sick. That was actually one of my worst gigs from, like, stress level ever, because when I went up to play, I'd updated my laptop, and you know that like software called Rekordbox, right? That when you plug your USBs in, it basically organizes your music library. I'd updated my laptop and put a new version of that Rekordbox on there. And when I went to put the USBs into the CDJs, which are like the decks that you use, none of the tunes were what they said they were. And they were all starting like halfway through. So I'm like, what am I going to do, man? I was literally flapping around or like flicking through my whole library. It was like halfway into the tune and not even the tune. So luckily I had my laptop backstage and I got my missus to run it up to me and I quickly just like copied it all across again. But yeah, it's very stressful. An amazing gig though.
I do remember you afterwards, you were saying to me like about when equipment goes wrong. And I was like, I have the advantage that I can just keep talking. Like you've got to pull something out of the bag, haven't you?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Is there any venue that you haven't played yet that you want to?
No.
I love the honesty. No, I've done it all, mate. Completed it.
No, it's not even so much that. It's just I feel like my passion for performing at live events has lessened somewhat. Like I enjoy it still, but I prefer creating now. That's what I like to do.
And also, you guys must have had such a hectic schedule for a while. Like, I can't even imagine how many gigs in how many different countries per week. Like, how do you live like that? How do you stay sane?
It's quite difficult, actually, and it's really unhealthy. Like, people think that the touring life, I mean, maybe when you're like teenager, like 20s, but like as you start to get a little bit older, it's really not that good for you. Like, late nights and going on planes all the time and like, yeah, just being amongst it. I mean, obviously, a lot of it's down to your lifestyle choices. But, you know, like 9 times out of 10, when you're in environments where, you know, there's a few drinks or whatever, you might have a few drinks and then you're getting on a plane after about 3 hours sleep and then you're somewhere else. But it's really fun, man. And I can't hate on it, man. I've had some good times. I just feel like for me, I've got to a stage where my joy is in being in the studio, as opposed to that. But that's not to say I don't enjoy that, because that is fun, you know?
Yeah, just a bit more of a minimum these days. I just want to be at home with your own pillow sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, a bit less of that, yeah.
Because you guys as well, you don't really like lean into the fame side of things, do you? Is that quite a conscious thing?
Yeah, 100%. I'm not really interested in that at all. And like, I think in the past, we've had people trying to push us to like, you know, like go to celebrity events and stuff like that. But I went to like one or two and I was just like, I don't know if you've experienced it. You've probably seen it yourself when you go to those events. This social climbing thing that goes on where there's all these people that are just like running around trying to be with someone who they think's cool. And I'm like, I just see straight through it, man. I'm not into that at all.
Feel about you, it can't be bought, it can't be sold, deep as the ocean blue, worth more than diamond and gold. 'Cause you got something I've been needing all my life, a love that's sudden, you make everything alright. This time I know, baby, this love feels way too right to be wrong. The way I feel about you is way too strong. Baby, get in my arms, it's where you belong. The way I feel about you is way too strong.
feel about you is a feeling so profound. What we're sharing is true. You pick me up when I'm down. My heart is open, I've awoken finally, finally. With words unspoken, I know you know what I mean. I'm gonna let it show. Baby, this love feels way too right to be wrong. The way I feel about you is way too strong. Baby, get in my arms, it's where you belong. The way I feel about you is way too strong.
This is BFBS, the Forces Station. I'm George Ryland with Joe from Sigma. Now, I kind of hate to do this, but I also want to. Let me just take you back to 2020 for a minute. There's words no one wants to hear. But you got really ill with long COVID, didn't you?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was that was peak.
So I remember you on your Facebook, and at one point you literally put this list of everything that you were taking, like vitamins and everything like that, because you were just trying to get yourself back to being healthy when there was no help available.
For me, it was just quite baffling because I've never experienced anything like that. But since that whole experience, I've come across loads of people who've had a similar thing, and not necessarily with just COVID, with like viruses. It's like, it's quite a common thing actually, like glandular fever, or even like as simple as the flu. Like people couldn't end up with these long-term symptoms that go on for ages. And I feel so blessed that I got myself to a place where I was able to not be in that scenario. And it's not like you've experienced it before, so you feel ill, right? So you're just like, I just feel ill all the time.
Has it changed much, like your outlook, what you want from life or the music that you want to make or anything?
No, man, I just take joy in the smallest things. I enjoy walking, I enjoy relaxing. Like all those things that I just wouldn't even think about and I just take for granted. I used to see like, going for a walk to me back then was like a nuisance. I'm like, why am I walking anywhere? I'm not getting there quick enough, and I've got stuff I've got to be doing. But now I'm like, that is the joy, that part. Do you know what I mean? Just relax, enjoy it, whatever. Like I think I was just too much in a mindset of like workaholic. I've got to get everything done all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of artists actually needed to be like forced to stop for a while.
Yeah.
Like how long was it before you could start working with Cam again or make music in any form?
It was a good year, I think, where like, and it's funny because when I look back over it, there were periods where I felt better and not so good, etc. But I remember coming out to the studio, like specifically, and I think it was about 3 or 4 months after like I got sick, and I was just like, I was like, yeah, I kind of feel a little bit better today. I'm going to come out here, walked in the studio, put the screen on, and literally I put the screen on and was like, I've got to go back to bed. That's it. Like I'm finished.
Oh, that's tough.
Honestly, I can't explain to you. Like, I think, unless you experience whatever that feels like, I can't explain that to you.
During the pandemic, like during, you know, times of stress or whatever, music is often a lifeline for people. And a lot of people were really helped by artists who were jumping on Instagram or whatever. You know, not all of them, some of them could have done less. But did you watch anything like that, or were you just too ill at the time?
What was I doing? I was probably using more like spa type music.
The Wales is just there, like with the whale sounds.
Yeah, I had the Wales, or like just really chilled, maybe like a little bit of jazz or classical. Like, I wasn't anything like that was a bit, yeah, anything was a bit much, I wasn't really kind of putting on. So yeah, I think in that regard, that was cool. And then eventually, like when I got back to start listening to music, I really appreciate it again. And funnily enough, when I came back into the studio and actually started working again, I was like, what's all this mental music I've been making? I was like, I just want to just make acoustic stuff now. But that lasted for about a month. And then I was like, nah, rubbish, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a folk album after all. So who are you excited about at the moment on the dance scene, or any kind of music? Who are you listening to?
To be honest, I listen to quite a lot of older stuff. I like a lot of rap stuff, actually. I like a lot of the UK rap. I know it's quite bad to say it, but a lot of that drill stuff. I know they're talking about terrible stuff like stabbing each other and that, but I do quite like it. And I love Michael Kiwanuka. He's legendary, like one of my favorite artists. I like Sinead Harnett. I don't think she's done anything for a minute, but I'm a big fan. Like dance music, I would say that for me, probably what excites me the most, like listening wise, I like stuff that's kind of like got like a bit more of a garagey edge to it. I like house. I like a lot of house music, actually. I'm just trying to think of tunes lately that I've heard that I really like. Obviously Disclosure, they're some of my favorite stuff.
And is there anyone left that you want to work with? Like, have you got a wish list?
Not really, no.
Just don't want to be harassed by Take That anymore.
Yeah. Gary Barlow, man, get off my case.
I just want Gary to leave me alone.
Slow down this turn. We are speeding. Can you feel it? Listen, listen and learn. We need healing. Can you feel it? Everything's faded with you. Everything's faded with you. Everything's faded. I can't explain it. You stay the same, 'cause everything's faded with you. But you, you. Oh, but you, you. Constant as a heavy stone, with the bottom of the sea.
George Ryland with Joe from Sigma, who have a new album out. It's called Hope. Now, Joe, how would you describe it? Because it's a mix, isn't it? You've got some tracks like Find Me featuring Birdie, which has been out for a while. There's some new ones people won't have heard yet. There's also different vibes on there. Like, it does span quite a few music genres, doesn't it?
Yeah, so for me, the way I would describe it is it's a culmination of like 6 years worth of work, essentially, which it hasn't been released in the format that you would kind of expect an album to be released, like historically. You know, like when you have an album, you have three singles leading up to it. But it's just kind of how our label wanted to do it. So, I mean, obviously, like, they're in control of that side of things. We make the music, we give them the stuff. They kind of put the stuff together how they see best to fit. So this album for me, like I said, man, it's a culmination of about 6 years worth of tracks. There's lots of different styles on there. I think I've gone through and experimented with lots of different like writers, producers that I've collaborated with, and singers, and just had a lot of fun with it. And I feel like after the first album, because we had so much success with the drum and bass stuff, I didn't necessarily want to move away from drum and bass, but I just felt like I needed a little bit of a break from just writing that for a period of time. So I was doing everything from like rap stuff to like, you know, pop house to everything. And yeah, it's that basically in one album.
Yeah, like you got Strong, that's really uplifting. And then you've got like Faded with Evie from Lowe's. And then you've got Give It To Me, which is a great track. And that's got a sample that people are going to recognise, isn't it?
Yeah. So that was a culmination. That tune has been about, there's been about four different versions of that tune. So the first one I did with, there's a songwriter called Max Wolfgang, who's so sick, and I love him. He's one of the nicest guys ever. So I just moved into my new house, actually. It was summertime. And because it was one of them old 70s houses, it literally like, it had like a conservatory out the back. It must've been like 30 degrees in there, literally about 8 o'clock in the morning. So by the time it gets to the afternoon, you're writing, I'm just sitting there practically in my pants. He is as well. And there's this girl, there's a songwriter called Annika. Sorry, that was another song. What was her name? I've forgotten her name. She's going to kill me for this. She's Swedish. She looks like a model. She is a model, I think, as well. But anyway, we wrote this one version of that track, then went on and we did another version of it with another producer guy who I forgot his name.
This is going really well. You work with too many people.
That's the problem.
Take your eyes away. I don't even care if you see me. Every time I catch you looking at my face, oh. I just wanna get down low just a little. Speed it up and then go slow just a little. I'ma make you lose your mind just a little. Mind just a little, my mind just a little. I just wanna get down low just a little. Speed it up and then go slow just a little. I'ma make you lose your mind just a little. Mind just a little, my mind just a little.
Give it to me. I give it to you. I know what you want. You know I gotta give it to you.
Give It to Me from Sigma, featuring Kelly Kiara and ZZ.
George Ryland meets Sigma.
We did a version with KSI, you know, of that
did
tune.
Did you?
Yeah, which this version came out of the KSI version, but he didn't want to do it in that format. He right. had a version that he did that he wanted to do that wasn't working for us. So then we were like, no, we're not doing that. So anyway, we got rid of that, and then we got a version with ZZ on it. Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. And obviously Kelly Kiara, sick.
And you got Hope as well, which is it is an absolute anthem, isn't it? It was featured in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics Games closing ceremony. I mean, how did that feel?
Yeah, it's another one of them, like, you know, like tick box moments for your career. Like, I kind of feel like I've had way more than I would have imagined I would have had. You know what I mean? With like, you know, Brit Award nominee, all that kind of stuff. Like, obviously, that is definitely one of their moments. Really great to see. And such a positive message, you know what I mean? For a time when people might be feeling like they need that little bit of uplifting.
What would you say, if you have to pick one, is your favourite track from the new album?
My favourite track on the new album, I would say, oh man, there's so many good ones. Probably Find Me, actually, because I know it's a bit older in terms of everything, but if I think back to the kind of like, it's just so epic, do you know what I mean? And it's like, it's really well produced, I have to say. 10 out of 10 for me.
And you remembered her name and everything.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, Birdie, what a legend.
We said goodbye, that's what you told me once. So many times we've made our peace. But this is love, I'll never give you up. I know your love has come home to me. Like a fire always burning, I'll be here for you.
This is going to be really difficult, maybe like a handful of them. The most special things you've done so far, like Glastonbury or Royal Albert Hall. I mean, it's an insane list, isn't it?
I would say for me, the highlight was probably one of the highlights was the Albert Hall. Our second number one single with Paloma Faith was like really amazing. Working with Labyrinth, who for me is just like, oh man, he's like I'd say he's one of our unsung UK geniuses when it comes to artists, particularly because he's so out there with his style, but he's just so talented. And yeah, he doesn't quite get the props he deserves, I don't think. So yeah, that's a couple there.
I have given all myself, all that I had left to give, all the reasons I confront, you're my reason left to live. If that ain't enough,
thank you so much for joining me. I'm excited to hear what Sigma do next. And the album Hope is out now.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
BFBS, original music specials.
On air, online, on the app, on FM, and DAB Plus throughout the UK. This is BFBS. The Forces Station.